8th chapter of Hilchos Gzela Vaveda, the laws of robbery and of lost objects. This chapter contains 14 halachas and deals with the law of returning a stolen object and what to do if the victim of the robbery has died and for whatever reason one is unable to return it to him. To whom is he required to return it? Perek Shmini, the 8th chapter, halacha aleph. Someone steals by force, steals something from his neighbor, and the victim has now died. Who does he return the object to? He must return the gzela, the stolen object, to the ones that inherited the estate. They have the right to this object now that the victim has died. If the object has been lost, or it has changed its form, a permanent change, which, as we explained in the earlier halachas, means that he no longer has to return the object itself, but he returns the value of the object. So too here, Nasin Lahem Damel, he returns the amount, the financial value of the stolen object, to the ones who were inheritors of the estate. And so too in the case where you must pay an additional fifth, as we discussed in yesterday's chapter of Hilchos Gzela Vaveda Perek Shvi, that in a case where someone makes a false oath, denying that he owes money to someone else, and later on admits that he swore falsely, he must not only pay back the value of the object he stole, or the object itself, but an additional fifth, a fourth of the object, meaning a fifth of the total amount. He must pay back not only the ket and the principal, but the additional chaimish, the fifth. And now in our case, in this halacha, ve'im nishpalei, the acher kach meis, if he swore in response to the claim of his neighbor, he swore that he did not steal anything, and then the victim died, and later on he comes to admit that he must pay. He admits that he swore falsely, and therefore was required to pay back not only the original amount, but the additional fifth. He gives back to the ones that inherit the estate, the principal, and the penalty, the additional chaimish, the additional fifth. And as it explains in the Mishnah, this applies whether he admitted to the victim who is now dead, or even if he admitted after he died to the children. He nevertheless is required to pay back not only the principal, but the additional chaimish. The next two halachas deal with a very interesting case. We learned in the last halacha that the thief is required to return the money to those that inherit the estate of the victim. Let's say the thief stole from his own father, and then his father dies, and therefore he himself inherits the estate. Who does he now return the extra money to, since he is now inheriting the estate himself? Halacha beis. Hagezel es aviv. He stole money from his father. V'nishbalei. And then he swore to his father that he did not steal. And therefore, as a result of his false oath, he is now responsible not only to pay back the amount he stole, but also an additional chaimish, an additional fifth. Umeis ha'av. And now the father dies. As a result, the son will now inherit the estate from his father. Now, the problem here is that he has a mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela. There is a positive commandment to return a stolen object. And although in this case the stolen object is going to come back to him, since he anyway inherits his father's money, how does he fulfill the commandment of Hashavas HaGzela? So the Rambam says as follows: Im ein hagzela kayemis, ein nishtanis. If the stolen object is no longer in existence, or it has changed its form in such a permanent fashion, in a way that he is not required to give back the object itself, but rather the value of the object. So what's going to be over here? He's just going to give money to the estate and then take it back in the form of the inheritance. So what should he do? He is allowed to do so. Let's say he has other brothers. Then he should make a calculation with his brothers in the inheritance regarding this keren and chaimesh, regarding this amount that he stole and the additional fine. Let us make up a situation to clarify this. We'll keep the numbers simple. Let's say there are four brothers, and there was $400 in the estate of their father. However, one of these four brothers stole $80 from his father and then took a false oath saying that he did not steal anything. As a result, he is required to pay back the keren, which is $80, plus an additional chaimesh, $20, a fourth of that amount, a fifth of the total. So he is responsible with keren and chaimesh to pay $100 back to his father. Now his father died. How much money is split up into the estate? The law is that the estate is in reality now worth $500 because there's $400 with the father left and there's the $100 which this one son owes. So therefore, each of the four brothers, instead of getting $100, each part of the $400, they get $125 because the $100 is added to the value of the estate. The whole estate is worth $500. And then this son who stole the money will end up getting $25 because he's already holding the $100 which he owes anyway. So he's due $125 from the total value of the estate. He will get $25. And although one might think that this son, the thief, should be penalized as a result of his having stole. After all, how could he inherit money which he himself stole? As a result of his returning this keren v'chaimish, he is getting more money. He's not really returning this. He is getting back a portion of this money. Since without this $100, without this factor, he would have gotten only $100. Now he's getting $125. Nevertheless, the Rambam apparently learns that the money belongs to him. He stole, so it was a terrible thing. But it doesn't mean he doesn't have a right in the inheritance. And this money, which was owed to his father, is part of the inheritance, and he therefore has a right to it. Let's say that the stolen object is still in existence. Let's say it's an object worth $80. In this case, he is required to remove this stolen object itself from his possession. Because he is not allowed to hold on to the stolen object, he must return it. Therefore, he should return the stolen object together with the chaimesh, which in this case would be $20, to his brothers, and then he will make a calculation with them about how much more they have to pay him back. In other words, they normally were splitting up an estate of $400, so they would give him $100 like everyone else gets. But now he is returning the object together with the chaimesh, the $80 object, together with the $20 of the chaimesh. So now he has to make a calculation. His brothers now have to give him another $25 since he now returned the stolen object plus the chaimesh. He is due another $25 since he is returning this as part of the estate. Why can't he just hold on to the stolen object and the chaimesh himself? Because he is required to remove the gzela from his possession. He is required to return the stolen object itself. Since it still is in existence, he does not have the option of holding on to the stolen object and just taking another $25. He must give the object to the brothers who can get benefit from it, and he himself will take money. However, he does not lose the total value. This is still included as part of the estate, even as far as his share is concerned. Halacha Gimel. Im ein lo yachim. Let's say he has no brothers. Shanim says, Zeha gazlan levadai hu ayerish. That this thief himself is the only one to inherit the estate. So now what is he going to do? He has a responsibility of returning the stolen object or its value, should it no longer be in existence or have changed. So he has to return it. Who's he going to return it to? His father. But his father's dead. Who's he going to return it to? The estate. And who is the estate going? Back to him. How is he going to return it? He is allowed to take this stolen object out of his hand and give it to his children. This way he is returning the stolen object. It is still staying within his possession in a way. He's giving it to his children. But he is returning the stolen object. He is doing both. He's giving the stolen object away. And on the other hand, he's still getting it as part of the inheritance because it's going to his children. He is no longer directly in control of it. And on the other hand, it is still within part of his general family as part of the inheritance. Let's say v'im ein bonim l'zeha ben agazlan. Let's say this son, this thief, himself doesn't have children, so he cannot give it to anybody to keep it in the family. What can he do now? He is even allowed to give it to pay back a loan. Let's say he owes somebody $100. He is allowed to take this $100, which he would normally owe to his father, and he can pay back a loan. He can treat it like his own money, in other words. But since he is no longer holding on to it, in a way, he is no longer holding on to the stolen object. He's getting rid of it. And so to pay back a loan, to pay back somebody he owes for some reason, or even to give it to tzedakah, to give it to charity. And since he has taken the stolen object itself out of his possession, he is exempt. Even though he gave a gift to somebody, or he used it to pay back his loan, nevertheless, as long as he's taking it out of his possession, he has fulfilled his obligation. This is when he notifies them, and he says that this is a stolen object which belongs to my father. This is what I am paying you back with. Only in such a case is he allowed to return it in such a fashion. Incidentally, this is the Rambam's pshat in the Mishnah as brought by the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. However, other commentaries, Rashi and the Tur, learn differently and learn that the son has no right whatsoever to this stolen object since it was in his possession when the father died. The majority of the rest of the halachas in this chapter deal with a very similar case, that of a ger, a convert who dies. If the convert has a family, he has children born to him after he converted, then they obviously are inheritors of the estate. However, let's say he should die without having any family. Should there be a person who was born Jewish, we should be able to dig far enough into his family tree to find somebody related in order to give the money to them, as related in detail in the laws of inheritance. However, if a person has converted, then it's very possible we will not find anyone to take over their inheritance. Therefore, the law is that their possessions are hefker. They are declared ownerless, and anyone who takes them after the ger has passed away, anyone that takes them automatically gains possession of them. Therefore, this case is very similar to the previous halacha, that someone has stolen from his father, and now, since he is the sole inheritor of the estate, he has nobody to return the stolen object to. If someone has stolen money from a convert, and the convert dies without leaving any relatives, he is holding on to the object. He has gained possession of the object as a result of the death of the convert, and he's holding it. Who is he going to return it to? Halacha dalet, v'keina gezel asager v'nishbalei. And so too, someone that steals from a convert and swore to him, made an oath that he did not steal anything. V'chazer v'haydalei. And now he admits to this convert that he swore falsely, and therefore he's required to pay back the amount together with the additional chaimish. He doesn't pay it back right away, however, v'zakef alav hakol milva, and he transforms all of it into a loan. There is a discussion in the Peskim whether he has to say this explicitly, that I'm going to pay you back in time and make it into a loan, or automatically, since he hasn't paid it back, after admitting that he is financially responsible for it, it automatically is transformed into a loan. In any case, it is now considered a loan. And now the convert dies, and he has nobody to inherit his estate. Even though he acquires possession of this stolen object, as we mentioned, that when a convert passes away, all of the possessions become hefker. And therefore, whoever holds on to them, whoever gains them, if he has no one to inherit him, and whoever picks them up gains possession. So even though he is now holding on to them, he has gained possession of this stolen object. Nevertheless, he still can't have benefit from a stolen object. He must return it. And therefore, chayev leitziyah mitachas yodei. He must remove it from his possession. Just as we mentioned in the previous halacha, although he has inherited the stolen object himself, nevertheless, he is not allowed to use it, and he must give it to someone else. As we explained, he can use it to pay a loan, or give it to tzedakah, or something of the sort. But it itself he cannot hold on to. Now, as we mentioned, this parsha relating to someone that must pay back the additional fifth, and therefore, and also bring a korban asham, an asham gzeles, which is the guilt offering brought by someone who has stolen and taken an oath, later on admitted his wrongdoing, he must pay back the fifth, and he must bring a ram as a guilt offering. It is discussed at the end of Parshas Vayikra. However, it is discussed a second time in the Chumash, in the fifth chapter of Bamidbar, starting with Pasuk Hey. And over there, it is said in a little different way. The Pasuk says that he must return Ashamei Bereshei, he must return the stolen object itself, and again he must add on a fifth, Ve'im Ein La'ish Gael, and if there is no one, Lahoshi Ba'ashamei Love, no one to return the object to. In this case, Asham is not referring to the guilt offering, it's referring evidently to the stolen object. Then he has to return it, says the Pasuk, to the Kohen. He gives it to the Kohen. He has no one to give it to. And as the Rambam will bring in Halacha Vav, this is referring to a Ger, a convert who has died without leaving anyone to inherit him. Who then does he return the stolen object to? To the Kohen. And this is Milvad El HaKippurim, and this is aside from the guilt offering which he is required to bring. We therefore see from these psukim that although in general the things which belong to a ger are given over to hefker automatically, and anyone that grabs them gains possession of them, however, when it comes to returning a stolen object, this is not the case, and it is given to the kohenim. However, as we mentioned in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam learns that it is like any other case of inheritance, and therefore the thief is zeicher, he gains possession of the stolen object. However, as we see from the next halacha, the Rambam differentiates. Over there, he already admitted to the ger before the ger passed away, and therefore it became like a regular part of the inheritance. Then the specific law indicated here in the Chumash is applying to a case that he only admits having stolen after the ger has passed away, and therefore in that case he must give it to the kohen. Halacha hey, b'med dvarim amurim. When does this apply that it's like any other case of inheritance, and therefore the thief is allowed to be zeicher to grab on to this object which he originally stole, b'shehayd ben tayim, when he had admitted to the ger that he stole between the time he made the false oath and the time that the ger passed away. But if he stole from a convert that does not have anyone to inherit, and he swore that he didn't steal anything, and then the ger died, and he did not yet admit that he owes the money, he did not admit his false oath. This is what the Chumash is speaking about. He is required to return the value of the object and the additional fifth to the Kohanim of that particular Mishmar. That in the Beis HaMikdash there were 24 Mishmaris, the Kohanim were divided into 24 groups, each of one served in the Beis HaMikdash for a week. He is required to return it to the Mishmar of that week, who made the Ashamei, and then after he returns the money, he has to bring the Korban Ashram, the sacrifice, and then he will achieve his atonement. And this is what the Pasuk is referring to return to the Kohanim. And Halacha Vav, Mipi Shmuel Lamdu, and we learn by virtue of the oral tradition, Shezesh Nemar Bateira. This is what it says in Bamidbar Pasuk Ches in Perek Hei, Vim Ein Lo Ish Goyel, if he has no one to redeem him, meaning has no relative to which it can be returned. What do we learn by the oral tradition? Beger Shameis Vein LaYorshim Akosav Medaber. This is referring to a ger who has died without leaving anyone to inherit his estate. Because otherwise, how is it possible he has no family? And this that the Pasuk says, he must return the Asham. For Asham Zeha Omer Kan. This Asham, literally the guilt offering that is spoken here in the Pasuk, Hu HaGezel Odmei HaGzela. This is referring to the stolen object or the value of the stolen object. It can obviously not be referring to the sacrifice Asham, because the end of this Pasuk says, Milvad Ela Kippurim, aside from the ram which brings atonement, referring to the ram of the guilt offering. Why does the verse express it in such a way? Speak of the money which must be returned as an asham. The Rambam now learns that this expression in the Torah teaches us that many laws which apply to the sacrifice apply also to this money. Lefichach, therefore, hamachzir gezel hager b'layla layotzer. Someone that returns the stolen an object which was stolen from a ger, and he is giving it now to the kohenim, and he returns it in the nighttime, is not satisfied the mitzvah of bringing back the stolen object. Shahari oshem kare hakosiv, because the pasuk calls this money an oshem. Ve'ein makrivim b'layla. You cannot bring a sacrifice at night. that since it is called by the name of a sacrifice, even though it's referring to the money, if it was just money, there's no difference between returning it during the day or during the night. But since the money which must be returned, Gezel Hager, which is returned in this case to the Kainim, since it's called by the same name as the sacrifice, it has the same law of the sacrifice. And therefore, just as the sacrifice is offered during the day, the money must be returned only during the day. And so too, there is another law by the Yashim. The Kainim, Asham is Kotche Kotchim, and therefore the Kainim get to eat the guilt offerings. Let's say there should be 5 Kainim that day on duty, and 5 different people bring the Korban Asham. Each one brings a sacrifice, a guilt offering. So the Kainim could say, let's make it easy. You'll take one, I'll take the other, and everybody gets one. It's evenly split up. The law is that they are not allowed to do that. That each sacrifice must be divided equally among all of the Kainim. Therefore, they must divide the first one into 5 sections, the second one into 5 sections, and so on. They cannot trade between each other that one takes the entire animal, the other one takes another entire animal. And so, too, we will apply to the same thing will apply to returning the money. The Eina Kainim Chokim Gezel Ager Keneged Gezel Ager. The Kainim who are serving in that particular Mishmar are not allowed to divide the Gezel Ager, which is being returned for one ger that has died, and compared with another one that has died. Just like they cannot divide, split up between the meat of one Korban Hashem with another Korban Hashem. But just like when it comes to the sacrifice, you cannot take one person's sacrifice. Let's say let's say that there were 500 pounds of meat which were being sacrificed over there, and there are 5 kainim, and each animal is 100 pounds. So therefore, we'll say, you'll take 100 pounds of your animal, I'll take 100 pounds of the second one, and we won't have to sit here slicing up meat the whole day. We're not allowed to do that. We must slice up each 100 pounds into 5 pieces and give 20 to each kain. Let's say we have Gezel Hager, which is being returned, and from one ger, there's $100. From another, there's $100, and there's $500 being returned. From 5 different gerim were robbed of $100 apiece, and there are 5 kainim on duty. So you might say this one is returning. Okay, you'll return it to kain number 1. The second thief comes back. You return it to kain number 2. We're also not allowed to do that. Just like by the sacrifices, it must be split up equally. So too by the money. The first one to return the money must be divided equally among all the kainim. And so too any subsequent cases of Gezel Hager. And this, that the value must be returned and shared equally among all the Kohanim, leads us to Halacha Zayin. Kol Gezel Hager she'ein b'sheva pruta l'chol kain v'kain me'anshe mishmar. Anything which was stolen from a ger, from a convert. And as we're speaking in these halachas, there is no one to inherit the estate of this ger, and therefore it is given, as the pasuk says, to the kain, as we learned in Halacha Hey. And it must be split up equally among the kohenim. Let's say there is not enough that there is a pruta, the lowest negotiable currency, for every single kohen of that mishmer, of that watch. The one that returns has not satisfied the mitzvah of returning the stolen object. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Hamushav Lashem LaKayin, that he returns it to Hashem, to the Kohen, meaning that he must return it. Hashem dictates him to give it to the Kohen, which means Ad Shetiyah Hashava L'Chol Kohen, until it is returned to every Kohen. And when is something called returned? As we mentioned several times in this halacha, unless it has the value of a pruta, it's not called returned. One has not done the mitzvah of Hashavas Hagzela. So since the pasuk mentions Hamushav, that it must be returned, and it mentions the coin, it must be an amount sufficient to be called returned to every individual coin. And another law we learn from the pasuk, v'lama nemar begezel hager ish. Why does the pasuk v'im ein la ish goyel? The pasuk says that if the man does not have anyone to inherit him, why does it say man, indicating somebody that's grown up? What happens if it's a child? If it's a child that's passed away without anybody to inherit him, the same law would apply. It would also go to the kainim. Why then does it say ish? It should say v'im ein goyel, if there's no one to inherit. Why does it say ish? Sha'ish atetzorech lachker ulachazer olav. If it's a grown person, you must make an investigation and look around im yesh le yorshim or im ein le, to look around and see whether he has somebody to inherit him. There is a surviving relative. who was born after he converted, or if not, and only after you've completed your investigation can you give it to the Kohen. Avalim hoya ger katan. But if this convert was still a child, converted before he reached the age of bar mitzvah, you don't have to make an investigation. The assumption is that he has no one to inherit him. Since he has converted at this age, and he obviously has not had children at such a young age, the presumption is he has no other relatives either, and even if his family converted, they don't have the same law as relatives and so on, so therefore we can give it to the Kohen without having to make further investigations. Halachachas. A little bit of introduction to this halacha is necessary. In the fourth halacha in Perek Gimel, we learned about whether the thief has to return the object itself or what the object was worth at the time he stole it. Let's say he stole a barrel of wine, and now the wine has turned to vinegar. Returning a worthless barrel of vinegar, at least worthless in comparison with the wine, is not going to satisfy the owner. Therefore, he must return. And since the wine has changed its form, he has acquired the barrel of wine. If it turns into vinegar, it's his tough luck. He must return the value of this barrel, what it was worth at the time he stole it. However, if the object has not changed in form, he is still allowed to return the object. So chametz, for example, let's say he stole chametz, leavened food, and then he held this food over Pesach. The thief did. The law is that if a Jew owned chametz during Pesach, the one is not allowed to have any benefit after Pesach. Can he therefore return this worthless piece of chametz, a piece of cake? Can he return it to the one who was robbed after Pesach? So the Rambam says yes, since it has not changed form. Although it's valueless now, he still can say, Harei shalachol lefanecha. What you previously have, here it is, you have it back. Even though it's worthless, the thief has the right to do that. The same thing would apply if he would have to return it to someone who inherited the estate of the victim. He would, just like he could say to the one he robbed from, he could say it to the people that inherit as well. We will learn in this halacha that the law of the Kohanim is different over here, because the Kohanim were not made the recipients of the inheritance here. The reason they get Gezel HaGer is because Hashem gives it to them as one of their gifts. Therefore, in this case, they would have to give the money back to the Kohanim rather than the chametz. HaKohanim begezel ager kemekabli matonasim. The Kohanim, in the case of something stolen from a ger, as we've been discussing these halachas, are like they're receiving a gift over here. It's not that they are, since he has no one to inherit his belongings, that the Kohanim inherit. They are in a different legal status. They are like people receiving gifts. Lefichach, hagezel chametz min hager, she'ein le'yorshim. If someone steals chametz from a ger who has no one to inherit him, va'over lav Pesach, and it was held in a Jew's possession over Pesach, chayev liten l'kainim es damav kishas hagzela. He is required to give back the kainim the value of this chametz at the time that it was stolen. Because if he gives the chametz back now, ain't a matana. He's not giving them anything. Because it's prohibited to have benefit from this chametz. If it was if the ger was still alive and it was his chametz that you're returning, you could tell him, here, what you own is being given back to you, like we explained before, that Rambam explained in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. But that's because we're talking about the law of Hashavas Gezel over here, returning the gezel. You can return the gezel itself now, even though it's worthless. Why should the kainim be any better? They're just like the people that are inheriting what the ger had. But they're not, says the Rambam. They're receiving a gift over here. And if it's valueless, it's not called a gift. And therefore, the kainim get back even more than the ger himself would get back, even more than any yid would get back, because they are not in the state of somebody inheriting. Rather, they are considered to be given a gift, and it must have value. Now let's say a Kohen himself was the thief. Halacha tes. Kohen shegazel ger she'ein le'yorshim. A Kohen stole from a ger who has nobody to inherit. V'nishbalei umeis hager. And then he made an oath. He swore to the ger that he swore not, that he stole nothing. And then the ger died. And as we learned in Halacha Hey, then this is the case we're speaking of, that the keren, the amount which was stolen, and the chaimish, the additional fifth, go to the kainim. But he himself is a kain. Maybe then he is allowed to keep it. This individual does not merit, does not gain possession of this stolen object which is in his possession. But it goes out from under his control to his brothers, the Kainim, who are serving in that Mishmar. That although it says that it was given to the Kain, it doesn't mean any Kain. It rather is referring to the Kainim who are serving on that particular watch of that particular week. Halacha Yud. Hagezel es hager v'nishbalei umeis hager. Similarly, someone stole from a ger, and he swore to him that he did not steal anything. Umeis hager, the ger then died. And as we said again in Halacha Hey, that he's responsible now to give the keren and chemish to the kayanim. And what happened? He started preparing himself. He prepared his korban asham, as the law is, as we discussed in yesterday's perek, that someone who steals and then makes a false oath is required to pay ken v'chemesh and also bring asham gzeles, to bring the guilt offering for a thief. So he prepared his asham, u'gzeilase la'aleisim l'kainim, and he prepared the stolen object to bring it back to the kainim, to return it as the halacha requires. But now, u'meis ha'gazlan kaidim kapara, the thief himself died before he could gain atonement. The Rambam explained in the last parak that both the returning of the chaimish, the one-fifth, and the sacrifice achieve his atonement for the sin of the theft and the false oath. Now, do the ones that inherit the thief's estate, do they also have to give the money back to the kainim? Or possibly, can they be zeich from hefker? As we learned earlier, that normally the law is, as we discussed in Halacha Dalit, that when a ger dies without having anyone to inherit, his possessions are hefker. Anybody can get them. However, in this special case where the pasuk indicates this case of a gezel ager, it goes to the kainim, it doesn't go to everyone. But does that only refer to the person that stole, or is it in any case of gezel ager? The halacha is, hare b'nei ha-gazlan yershim es kesef ha-gzela oy ha-gzela atzma. The children of the thief inherit the money, the worth of the stolen object, or the stolen object itself. In other words, once we get out of the stage of the thief himself, and we're already the children of the thief, the halacha, which is indicated in the pasuk in Chumash, that it goes to the kainim, no longer applies. It becomes like any other case of a possession of a ger who has no one to inherit him. And therefore, the children gain ownership over the stolen object or its value. And what happens now to the guilt offering, the asham? For asham yira ashayipol beimum, you allow this animal, the ayil, the ram, to graze and do not bring it as an offering until it develops a blemish. Because the law is, once an animal has been prepared as a sacrifice, you cannot simply use it for another purpose because it's been sanctified. On the other hand, you can't sacrifice it because the owner has died. So therefore, you wait until it develops some blemish, which disqualifies it for offering on the mizbeach, on the altar, and then you can sell it and use the money for the Beis HaMikdash, and the ram can be used for regular purposes. As the Rambam explained earlier in Hilchos Psulim Mikdashin. However, this applies only if the money has not yet been given to the kohen. Halacha Yiralef, but nosan ha-gazlan es ha-kesef. Let's say the thief already gave the money to the kainim from that particular watch. But he died before his atonement was achieved by the offering of the sacrifice. The children that inherit the estate of the thief are not able to take the money back from the kainim. They can always try to claim that their father gave money in order to have atonement, and since he didn't bring the sacrifice, he wasn't atoned for. They have no claim of that sort. Shanemar, the pasuk says, in again by Midbar Hey pasuk Yud, Ish asher yitin l'kain lo yiyeh. A person that gives the money to the kain, lo yiyeh, it should belong to him. It belongs to the kain, and he can forget about getting it back because then once it's given permanently. And the explanation is, why does the pasuk say such a thing? Because although he's not completely atoned for, even the giving of the money partially achieves atonement. as the Rambam mentioned earlier. Afilu hoya gazlin koten, shein matanosim matana, and even if the thief was below the age of bar mitzvah. And the law is that if he gives a gift, it is not considered to be fully a gift. Nevertheless, ein yorshim mitzim miyad hakayinim, the ones that inherit the estate of this child can still not take the money back from the kayinim. The pasuk says, lo yiyed, belongs to him no matter what. Halacha Yud Beis. As we mentioned, both the money and the money is split up among the kohenim of that particular mishmar of that week, and then the asham is sacrificed by those kohenim, and the meat is split up by the kohenim of that mishmar. However, nosen es hakesef la'achas min ha'mishmores, ves ha'asham le'mishmores zu shehi shabata. Let's say he gave the money to one of the 24 watches, not the one that he was opposed to, not the one for that particular week. However, the asham, the ram, he gave to be sacrificed to the correct mishmar, the correct watch, which this is its shabata, it is its week. So the asham he gave to the proper week, the money he didn't. The law is that the kohenim that were given the money must give the money to the mishmar of the proper week, and it was joined together with the asham with the guilt offering. Because the mishmar, the watch, that week of kohenim, who took the money not in the proper time, they do not have any right to it, and therefore we take it away from them and give it to the correct week of Kohenim. As we mentioned, in the case where a person makes a false oath and denying he stole something and later on admits he did so, three things must be done. First, he must return the stolen object or its value, in addition, he must give an additional one-fifth, meaning one-fourth of the value, one-fifth of the total amount. And the third thing he must do is bring the guilt offering, the asham. Let's say he does not give the money and wants to get the atonement simply by bringing the sacrifice. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ein makrivim es ha'osham. One cannot sacrifice this osham, the guilt offering, achi yachzer ha'gazlan ha'keren labaylim, until the thief returns the principal, the value, to the original owners. Or that he returns the money to the kohenim if it was stolen from a convert who doesn't have anyone to inherit his estate. Until he returns the theft, he cannot achieve his atonement by bringing the guilt offering. He still is holding on to the stolen object. Let's say he gives back the principal, and then he brings his sacrifice of the guilt offering, and he has not yet given back the chaimish, the fifth. Nevertheless, he is atoned for. And this fifth that he's supposed to pay in addition to the principal does not prevent the atonement of the guilt offering from being affected. However, v'chayev liten es ha'chemesh acha kapara, but he still is required to give this additional fifth after the atonement is completed, in other words, after the guilt offering is offered. The concept we have been discussing in this perek and the previous perek about a person that steals, for example, and then denies having stolen it, and then takes an oath, and the law given at the end of Parshas Vayikra, and again in Parshas Noseh, is that he must pay back the amount, pay back an additional chaimish, a fifth, and bring a guilt offering. In the pasuk at the end of Vayikra, in Perek Hey, pasuk Chafalef, and so on, it brings several examples. It speaks about a pikadin, an object for safekeeping, the sumas yad, money kept in a partnership, gezel, which we have been discussing here, stolen objects, or oshak es amisei, that he originally came to the money willingly, according to the will of the original owners, and then refuses to return it. Many cases are mentioned. Why does it not say a general rule? Because some cases are included, as we mention here. Other cases are excluded. This halacha primarily deals with this case about which is included and which is not. And the same thing will apply to gezel agir, which is also learned out from a similar set of psukim in Parshas Noseh. Halacha Yudal at the final halacha of the perek. Havodim vashtores vakarkois. Slaves, referring here to Evet Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, and Shtores, a document which is being used as a proof or representative of money, Vakarkois, and land, Ein Bahem Teisvus Chemish. We do not have the law that someone that steals them, any of these three categories, and goes through all the steps that he made a false oath and later on admits that he lied, he does not have to return by adding a fifth. He can merely return the object itself. Shenemar, it says in Pasuk Vechichesh Bamisei Bepikadin that he denied his neighbor in the case of an object left for safekeeping, a Pekadin. And it lists a number of other things. Kola Amar Beinyin, and everything mentioned there, and these set of psukim, they have certain things in common. Metaltalinhu, it's all movable objects, Vagufa Mammon, and they themselves are worth money, they themselves have value. What does it come to exclude? Yotu Karkois, first of all, it comes to exclude Karkois, land, because everything mentioned in the verse, in this psukim, everything is movable, whereas land is not movable. That's one of the three. Also, vavodim shahukshula karkois. It also comes to exclude slaves, because in the Gemara Kedushin, we learn that slaves are compared. The pasuk compares them to a field, because it speaks in Vayikra Chafhei Memvav about inheriting slaves from father to child, and the same expression is used as it is for the inheritance of a field. So therefore we learn that the slaves have the same law as a field, and just like we don't have the Tesus Chemesh by land, so too by slaves. And also we mentioned that they themselves are worth money, those that are mentioned in the pasuk. So therefore V'yotzu Shtareis She'ein Gufamamim. This comes to exclude a document. The document itself is not money. It is not money. It comes to represent money. It can be handed in for money. This comes to include a dollar bill. Is a dollar bill money? No, a dollar bill could be exchanged for a certain amount of silver. Although it is used as, or a check. Is a check money? A check is as good as money, perhaps. But it is not money. It represents that you can get money from somewhere else. It itself is not money. Therefore, for stealing a check, one would not be obligated to pay back Tesus Chemish. And so too in the case of stealing something from a ger who has no one to inherit him, any of these things, if one stole a slave or one stole a shtar or land, the law is that they do not go back to the kainim. It is like any other case of objects which belong to a ger who has no one to inherit, that it becomes hefker, ownerless, and anyone can gain possession of them. Because the only time the pasuk tells us that they goes to the kainim is in this context of cases where the person has to take an oath and it has to bring a korban oshem, and these cases are specifically excluded. The kena karka ain't, and so to another law about land. The kena karka ain't a niknis le'elam le'gazlim, and so too a thief never ever gains possession of the land. Ela birshus by leha oimedes, it always stands within the possession of the original owner. Bafilu nimkara le'elef. And even if it was sold successively to 1,000 people, the thief sold it to one person, and person number one sold it to person two sold it to three, and so on, even 1,000 people. Phineas Yoshua Bailin, the original owner of this land, has already given up hope of ever getting it back. If it would be a regular case of metaltalin, moving a movable object, we discussed earlier, when the original owner gets it back, he must give money to the one he took it from. And then he himself, the original owner, has to go and make a case with the thief and get the money back from him. However, in this case, it goes back, the object itself, meaning the land itself, goes back to the original owner because it never changed possession. And furthermore, the original owner doesn't even give any money to the one that bought it. What then does the person that bought it do? Anyone who had it taken away from him, the land was taken away, he goes back to the person that sold it to him. And he goes back to the person that sold it to him. Until they go back to each other, until the one that bought it from the thief goes back to the thief and takes the money away from the thief, as will be explained in the next perek. We explained in Perek Hey, Metzat, Metaltalin, and movable objects, the sages made Takanas Ashuk, in order that the business should go smoothly and people shouldn't be afraid that what they're buying was a one-time stolen, they'll come to lose the object. They made it that the person can keep the object and give back the money. And, however, in this case, in Karka, they made no such Takana, and therefore the object itself, meaning the land, is returned, and they get no financial remuneration.